Amen. Awesome. There it is. Praise God. All right, we're back. We're going to continue in this series that we started last week called The Bible Doesn't Say That. Come on, say that with me, everybody. The Bible doesn't say that. And I wish we'd say that a lot more often. You ever find yourself in a conversation where somebody says something that sounds really good, but it's actually really stupid? And you just kind of like, because you don't want to offend them, you kind of like just smile. Like, yeah, you're right. Like they say something that sounds good, but you don't want to really say something because you think it's not your place, or you feel like if I said something that might cause a rift between us. And so you just kind of very nicely give them a smile and a nod and you keep on going, right? You don't continue the conversation. But that's how I feel a lot of times when I hear people say things that are in the Bible that really aren't in the Bible. And a lot of times they come from scripture that's being taken out of context, that's being misinterpreted because it's being taken out of context. And it sounds really nice. It sounds really beautiful. It might even be comforting and encouraging. Things like, well, when somebody passes away, I can't stand when somebody says, well, God just needed another angel. That's not biblical. Right? We talked last week about the lie and the cliche statement that God will never give you more than you can handle. And we discovered that oftentimes God will, in fact, allow us to face more than we can handle so that we are reminded that there's nothing that he can't handle. So that we are reminded of his goodness, his faithfulness, his power to be able to take on anything and everything that we could ever face. And that we see his power is revealed on the platform of pressure that we face in our lives. Today, I want to address another cultural favorite that we hear oftentimes, and that is that the Bible says we shouldn't judge. Yeah, you've heard that one before, huh? In fact, I would venture to say that this is probably what makes the Matthew chapter 7 the most popular text that everyone knows. You know, a lot of people say that John 3:16 is the most famous passage, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. This one probably competes with that one. And that's because most of the time, the reason why people are saying this is because they don't want any accountability in their life. They don't want anybody correcting them. They don't want anybody calling them out. Let me tell you how this hits home for me, because once I tried having a conversation with a friend of mine that was making some destructive decisions in their life, and they were making some choices that weren't really good in their life, and I wasn't angry. I didn't come heavy-handed like I normally do, right? Because everybody knows my wife is the gracious one. Listen, you want to be patted on the head and rubbed on the back, you go to my wife. All right? She'll do that for you. I'm just going to give it to you cold turkey. You know what I mean? I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off. I'm going to go one, two, gah! You know, like, I'm going to surprise you with it. And it might not feel good, but in this case, I was just being honest. I was just being vulnerable. I thought that we had a relationship where if you made a decision that probably wasn't beneficial to not just you, but those around you, that I could tell you as your brother and as a friend, hey, you probably don't want to make that decision. That's probably not the wisest decision to make. And the response was, well, aren't Christians not supposed to judge? And maybe you've heard it. Maybe somebody said it. Maybe you're the one who has said this. Because you believe in a God of grace. And that's incredible, because he is a God of grace. But he's also a God of righteousness. He's also a God of holiness. And in fact, in a few weeks, we're going to talk about how God doesn't just want you to be happy. He wants you to be holy. But it's a phrase that sounds really spiritual. And it might even sound humble, like I would never point the finger. I would never say anything. I would never judge anyone. But is it what Jesus really meant? Because here's the thing. We live in a time where calling something wrong is often considered more worse than doing something wrong. We live in a society where you calling something wrong is considered worse than the person that's actually doing something wrong. And you're labeled as judgmental. You're labeled as overly righteous. You're labeled as self-righteous. And in some ways, that might be for some people. People will say to you, you do you. Live your truth. Don't judge. You see, the problem is that it's not about living your truth. It's about living his truth. Because your truth has caused all kinds of chaos in your life. Your truth is false. Your truth is chaotic. Your truth is dysfunctional. Your truth often changes with how you feel. Your truth got you in the mess that you find yourself in the first place. Your truth is what led you astray. Your truth is what separates you from God and has you walking towards an eternity in a word that we don't really like to hear so much. But it's still real. And that's hell. And the best thing that we could do as one another, for one another, as brothers and sisters, is to call each other out and to let each other know when we're going astray, because it's almost as if love and truth have become enemies in our culture. It's almost as if you can't even say anything at all anymore. But here's the tension for followers of Jesus, is that if we take Jesus seriously, we know we're called to be holy and live holy lives. And if we really love people, then how can we say nothing when we see them heading toward destruction? So what do we do with Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1? Because the reality is that the Bible teaches us that we are never given the permission or the right to condemn someone in judgment. Hear what I'm saying. There's a difference between condemning someone and holding someone accountable that leads them to conviction. We don't ever have the place to tell someone they're going to hell. We don't ever have the place to tell someone they're condemned. We don't ever have the place to tell someone there's no mercy, there's no love, there's no grace, there's no salvation available. But we do have the ability and the permission to discern, to evaluate, to correct, and hold accountable according to the passage, according to the Bible. So let's look at it real quick, because this is the verse that often gets taken out of context. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 2. It says this, judge not that you be judged. Now stop, because that's where everybody else stops. Judge not, lest you be judged. And you look at me and go, well, pastor, isn't that what it just said? No, you've got to read it in its entire context. Anytime you take a passage out of the context of which it was written in, you will always misinterpret it incorrectly. It will always lead you to having a wrong understanding of what's being said. He continues and he says, judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, at first glance, it seems like a command to stay silent and not ever say anything, not ever correct anyone, not ever discern between right and wrong. It seems like that you just shouldn't ever say anything to anyone about anything. And some of you are like, pastor, it says it right there. But the reality is that that's not what it says. If you stop there, it would seem like Jesus is saying you don't want to judge, because the same way you judge others, you will be judged as well. You see, the standard and the measure by which you judge others is the same standard and measure by which you yourself will be judged. And the reason why Jesus is saying this is because we have a habit of holding others to a standard that we will not hold ourselves to. It's this idea of do as I say and not as I do. You ever said that once here? Come on, parents. Am I the only one up here? You know you're liars. You're lying in the presence of the Lord. Right? It's this idea
that we hold others to an expectation and a standard that we don't hold ourselves to. And what Jesus is saying is you shouldn't shut your mouth. You don't say anything. You don't hold anyone accountable. You don't challenge anyone on their bad behaviors. You don't correct anyone's wrong beliefs. You just mind your business. That's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is actually saying is you have to be careful that with the same measure and the same standards that you're putting on others, you make sure you understand that same standard is on yourself. And you have to continue reading and look at what Jesus says next. When in verse 3 he says, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" You see, Jesus is not saying that you shouldn't judge. What Jesus is saying is you shouldn't judge if you're not going to deal with your own issues. If you're not going to deal with your own heart first. If you're not going to deal with your own disobedience. If you're not going to deal with your own pride. If you're not going to deal with your own self-righteousness. If you're not going to deal with your own anger issues. If you're not going to deal with your own sexual immorality. If you're not going to deal with your own issues, then you have no right to speak into anybody else's life. Don't ever hold anyone to the standard that you will not hold yourself to. He doesn't want you to just ignore what's going on. Look what he says. "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." So what is he saying? Deal with your own issues, and once you've dealt with your own issues, then you have the authority and the clarity to be able to deal with your brother's issues. Not that you shouldn't deal with the issues. Not that you just should totally disregard the speck or the log. But you deal with the log and then you are able to deal with the speck. You cannot see clearly and you cannot deal clearly with situations that you haven't dealt with yourself. And so at the core, what Jesus is warning against is this hypocritical, arrogant judgment. The kind of judgment that points fingers but never looks in the mirror. Man, we need to go back to the words of the great prophet Michael Jackson. I'm just kidding. He's not a prophet. Everybody relax. I'm just trying to lighten the mood a little bit, okay? We all know, but man, I just wish we'd start by looking in the man in the mirror, right? Top 10, I agree. Just start by looking at the man in the mirror. That's what Jesus is saying. How am I going to deal with everyone else's crap if I can't see my own? No, deal with you first, because it's hypocritical. If he don't deal with you first, it's arrogant. And the kind of judgment that points the finger and never looks at the mirror is exactly what Jesus is talking about. You see, Jesus is not against accountability. He's not against holding one another to a certain standard. What he is against is this prideful condemnation that happens oftentimes in churches, where we want to deal with somebody's porn addiction but don't want to deal with somebody's adultery. And we want to deal with somebody's adultery but we don't want to deal with another person's gossip. And we want to deal with another person's gossip but we don't want to deal with the other person's alcoholic issues. At the end of the day, we all have a log in our eyes that needs to be dealt with. And the only true standard that we could ever measure up to, or we could never measure up to, but Jesus met up to, was the one that he set. Now we know this is true because in the same passage, he ends with giving us a situation where we are going to have to make a judgment. We know that Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't judge one another, because he ends with a statement of where you're going to have to be able to discern and judge, not condemn, but discern who you give pearls to and who you don't. That's why in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, he says, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." Here's the thing. You're going to find yourself in moments and situations in life when giving pearls, that which is valuable, that which is pure, that which is holy, to dogs and swine must be stopped. However, that means we have to make a judgment call to clarify then who the dogs and the swine are. Now, for those of you who are new to the Bible, let me help you. Jesus is not trying to be vulgar in the way that he describes people. He's not trying to teach you that you should treat people like swine. You don't treat people like pigs. You don't treat people like dogs. What you have to understand is the historical context of the time. And I did a little bit of research to find out why is it that Jesus says this in a place that it seems out of place. And the reason why he says this is because in that culture, dogs and swine were looked at as something that were wild, that were scavenging, that were dangerous. They weren't cute house pets. You know what I mean? A fun fact, you know, the pigs are actually some of the smartest pets to have. Just putting that out there. I don't know. I just kind of popped in my head. Squirrel, right? But in that culture, they didn't have dogs as pets. Dogs were considered unclean. They were considered wild. They weren't cute house pets. Just like they were just wild dogs. They were scavenged. That's why the Bible says when a dog goes back to his vomit, it's considered an unclean animal. It's considered an animal that has no thought process and does things that aren't wise, that does things that are just wild and out of nowhere. That's what it's talking about. And pigs were unclean under the law. And they were symbolic of what was spiritually defiled. So together, these animals represent people who are hostile, who are mocking, who are violent, who are opposed to the truth. And so what Jesus is saying is, don't waste your time and your effort giving what's sacred to people who are aggressively unreceptive. Use discernment. In other words, judge. Judge who you do and who you don't give the truth to. Judge who you offer pearls of wisdom to and who you don't offer pearls of wisdom. But the only way to do that is to know how to differentiate between who's worthy of it and who's not. In order to do that, you have to be able to judge. So how does the Bible teach us then to do this? And the Bible makes it clear that in order to make a judgment, you first have to do what Jesus taught in John. John chapter 7, verse 24. It says this: "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." Another version of the Bible says, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with righteous judgment." You see, Jesus himself says, "Judge, but do it rightly." In other words, don't condemn, but judge with a discernment, with humility, with compassion, and with love. And the difference is that many of us judge superficially. We judge based on external appearances. We judge based on our own personal biases. We judge based on our own personal assumptions and hypocrisy. But Jesus says, no, if you're going to judge rightly, you have to judge humbly. You have to judge with discernment. You have to judge with compassion. And you have to judge with love at the end of that judgment, because you can't make assumptions based on what you see in the surface. But you do, however, have to base your judgment based on the evidence of someone's life. That's why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, because Jesus wants his disciples to know that when you judge, you do so based on evidence of someone's life, not assumptions. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20, it says, beware of false prophets. Now, let me make sure you understand that what Jesus is talking about specifically is false prophets, people who are teaching incorrect theology and doctrine. But the truth remains true for this scenario that we're talking about. You judge everyone based on what their evidence of life is. It says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, meaning they look to have some kind of innocent appearance to them, right? Meek, humble, weak, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. What is fruit? The evidence of a tree. You don't look at an apple tree and go, oh, those are oranges, right? Which is why he continues and he says, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Now, most of us don't have a vineyard. And many of us definitely don't have a fig farm. And if you do, please see me. I'd love to know all about it. But what he's trying to tell us and what he's trying to teach us is simple. That grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes. And figs are not gathered from thistles. In our context, we don't understand this, but what Jesus is saying is examine the evidence and make a righteous judgment. In other words, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, swims like a duck, then it's not a dog. That makes sense, right? It may have sheep's clothing. But everybody remember that old nursery, what's the old nursery rhyme with the grandma? No, the story with the grandma and the wolf, right? Or Little Red Robin Hood, right? I got it. I get it. Little Red Robin Hood, right? She gets there. She's like, well, my, what ears you have? Riding Hood, Little Red Robin Hood. Listen, I grew up in the hood. They didn't share those stories with us. You know what I mean? It was more like Little Red Robin Hood. You know what I mean? oh, God. You guys are taking me off track, all right? I'm trying to teach you something. All right, Little Red Riding Hood, right? She gets to Grandma's house, and she's like, my, Grandma, what ears you have? And she's like, the better to hear.